Good morning. My name is Cammie. I'm not the pastor. I'm one of the members of the preaching team. This weekend is Memorial Day. Now, this holiday weekend has morphed into sort of the official announcement of summertime. But it started off as being called Decoration Day. And it was a day that was designated by President Lincoln to honor those that had died in the Civil War. And then it morphed into just remembering the military in general. So if you have served in the military, if you are a mother, father, brother, sister, son, or daughter of someone that has served in the military, would you please stand? I know some of you are. Son, yes, son, daughter, I said it. Yes, I'm a wife of a veteran. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. How many of you know that when a soldier goes to war, his whole family goes with him? It's not just him that goes. My husband served in Iraq and Afghanistan as an emergency room physician taking care of the guys coming in off of the battlefield. And so he is actually working again this morning at an ER over in Richmond. But this morning, I want to flip the script. So normally, whenever you're giving a speech or a talk, you present sort of the problem first, and then you present the solution that you're talking about, that you're either educating someone about or you're trying to talk them into believing or buying or whatever. This morning, I'm going to flip it because I don't want you to get depressed. I don't want you to get so sidetracked with the problem and so overwhelmed by the problem that you don't hear what the solution is. So we're going to flip it, and we're going to talk about the solution, and then we'll talk about the problem. It's more fun that way. So the solution is very easy. Jesus. Jesus is the solution. I've got a couple of handcuffs over here. Alan preached an amazing sermon, and I listened to it a couple of times this week. If you were not here, if you didn't listen to it again, please listen again. It's titled, Who Are You? And it's about finding our identity in Jesus. In Jesus is where we move, we live, we breathe. Everything we have is in Him. And if we don't have that solid foundation, if we don't have that rock to stand on, if we don't have that belief and faith and trust to cling to, if we don't know Him in an intimate and personal way where He is very real to us and we are known by Him. You know, in Matthew, it says that in the end days that people will come to Jesus and say, Lord, Lord, I cast out devils in your name and I healed people in your name. And He'll say to them, be cast out into the outer darkness. I never knew you. See, we can come to church and learn all about Jesus, but never ever allow Jesus to come into those intimate, hurtful, painful, maybe scary, dirty, nasty, rotten attitude places in us and let Him know us. A fear that of shame of what's inside of us, fear that He's going to reject us, fear that He's going to punish us, fear that He's going to condemn us. And if we know Him, we know that He loves us with an undying love. He loves us with an unconditional love. It doesn't matter how naughty, how wrong, how bad, how stinky, rotten, spoiled, entitled kind of attitude we might have, He loves us no matter what. We can always come to Him boldly to the throne, even when we've messed up, even when we knew better and we still messed up, even when it's the same place where we've messed up over and over and over again, over and over and over again, we can come to Jesus and get right with Him. We can come to Him without fear, without... Now, the Bible says that we are to fear Him, but it's sort of like, men, do you fear your wives? Like, not afraid, but you respect the woman of the house, right? I'm getting a lot of nods. Yeah, right? And I mean, same, ladies, do we not sort of fear our husbands? Again, not afraid, not whatever, but He's the king of the castle, and we sort of reverence Him. We give Him respect. And so when I'm talking about, not being afraid of Jesus, I don't mean that we don't give Him His due respect, that we don't stand in awe of Him, that we don't revere Him, but we don't have to be afraid of Him, is the point. And so our identity is in Jesus. Now, the Bible says that in Jesus, we can have peace that passes all understanding. You know what that tells me? There's going to be some times that I don't understand, and I'm going to need his peace. In the Bible, it says that joy comes in the morning. That means that I'm going to have some nights that maybe aren't the most joyful. I might have some seasons in my life that are of mourning. Maybe I was betrayed by a friend. Maybe I lost a loved one. Maybe there's an end of a marriage, or there's a child that doesn't act right. You know, there's maybe you get the pink slip at work and you weren't expecting it. You know, there might be a season of mourning, but I can have hope in Jesus that's not my life forever going forward, that in the morning there is joy. Joy is coming. Joy is waiting. There is hope and peace in Jesus. See, it says that when the disciples, Jesus was with the disciples and he said, let's go to the other side of the lake. It's a lake. They called it the Sea of Galilee. He said, let's go to the other side. They were in the boat. Jesus was in the bottom of the boat sleeping. Now, this was not a cruise ship. You know, we went to Israel a couple of years ago. We actually saw one of the boats that they found in the Sea of Galilee. It's not much bigger than this little round portion of the stage. And so Jesus sleeping in the bottom of the boat, it's not like this mega yacht that he's in the bottom and it's got all these stabilizers, right? Like, it's this little wood boat that on this lake, they call it the Sea of Galilee, the wind is blowing and the waves are blowing. And so this boat is a rocking and water is a splashing and guys are falling over. And maybe some of them who weren't quite fishermen might be losing their cookies over the side. And there's a lot of yelling and there's lightning and there's thunder. And Jesus is in the bottom of the boat snoozing, taking a nap. Is it because he was unaware? Is it because he didn't care? No, it's because he knew that what he was called to do on this earth wasn't finished yet, and so nothing was going to happen to him. He had an assurity. He had an assurance. He had a rock-solid foundation that this is not the end. This isn't it. I've got more to do. This isn't the end. And so there's a place in Jesus where we can sleep through the storm. Again, not an ostrich, not putting our head in the sand, not denying what's going on around us, but during the storm, we can have enough peace to go to sleep, to get the rest that we need. See, the Bible says that we can soar like an eagle. Eagles love storms. They love them. They don't run from them. They fly directly at them because the currents within the storm push them up higher. And there have been jet pilots, like big 747 jet pilots, that have had fish fall on the windshield because there's an eagle above them. That's how high up these things can go. And see, that's where God wants to take us. It's not that he wants to take us out of the storm, but he wants us to have such a faith, such an assurance, such a knowledge, such an intimacy with him that we can go right through it and come out on the other side stronger for it. So the solution is Jesus. But not just a little bit of Jesus. But it's an intimate, dynamic, intentional, growing relationship where we are getting to know him and he is getting to know us. And it's where we can have our total faith and trust in him. So the problem is, I think, well, let me just say this. You were born into a battle. You were created for contention, and you're designed to destroy the works of the devil. You were born into a battle. You were created for contention, and you were designed to destroy the works of the devil. I'm not sure when, I'm not sure why. Well, I think I might know why. I'm not sure who or what. But at some point in the church history, in an innocent effort to try to bring people to Jesus, it's like the church at large, not necessarily this church, but the church at large just began to tell people, come to Jesus and he'll solve all your problems. Come to Jesus and you'll have this perfect life. Come to Jesus and magically all your problems will disappear. Just come to Jesus. Well, Jesus said just the opposite. Jesus said, if they persecute me, what do you think they're going to do to you? See, we were born into a battle. And I realize that for some, that might sound a little militant. It might sound a little aggressive. It might sound a little scary. So let's go back to the solution. Jesus says that we can have peace that passes all understanding. Jesus says that through him, we can have the strength of an eagle to soar above the storm. Through Jesus, we can sleep through a storm in a boat that's rocking like crazy. Like through Jesus, see, we got to hang on to Jesus whenever we look at what's going on in the world. Because we were born into a battle. Genesis 3, just in case you don't believe me. Genesis 3, the first book of the Bible. Chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. The Lord God said to the serpent, this is in the Garden of Eden, just catch everybody up. He has created Adam and Eve. He created this beautiful Garden of Eden. He told them not to eat of a certain tree. And darn if Eve didn't get talked into eating of the tree, and then she gave it to Adam and he ate it. And then God came and said, what'd you do? And Adam said, well, the woman you gave me made me eat it. And the woman said, well, that serpent that you created made me eat it. And so, you know, it was never their fault. That's a whole nother sermon. But this is what the Lord said to the serpent. Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than any animal of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And here's the part. And I will put enmity, open hostility, between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, meaning offspring. And you shall only bruise his heel, and he shall fatally bruise your head. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will give birth to children, yet your desire and longing will be for your husband, and he will have authority over you and be responsible for you. This is what God said to Adam. Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten the fruit from which I commanded you not to eat, the ground under you is now a curse. In sorrow and toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread until you return to the ground. From it you were taken, for from dust you were made, and to dust you shall return. Nowadays, it's so easy on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Snapchat, whatever, to look at other people's lives and think, they've got it so easy. I've got so many issues and problems and troubles and obstacles and whatever going on, there must be something wrong with me. What this scripture tells me is that struggle, toil, and trouble, that's sort of the norm. Peace and ease, that's vacation 2 weeks a year. You know what I mean? Now, again, don't get depressed, because Jesus is everything for us, right? He's our peace that passes all understanding. I'm going to keep saying it to remind you, lest you get depressed, lest you start to expect bad things to come. That's not how it is. We don't expect it to happen. We don't call it out. We don't want it to happen. We're not saying that God is making this happen to me so I can learn a lesson. That's not it. It's that whenever Adam and Eve ate of that, they sinned. Basically, it's not the eating of the fruit, whatever it was, but it was the sin. They disobeyed God, that it set in motion two kingdoms. There's your word, Kirk. Two kingdoms, right? And the one kingdom is at war with the other kingdom. And so there is a flow in this earth that is not for us. And so into our lives will come toil and trouble and issues and problems and unexpected bills in the mail and unexpected doctor's reports and unexpected house repairs. And so it's not, it shouldn't be that we let those things rock us, or that they shock us, or they throw us back on our heels because into our lives trouble comes. Because the Bible says it's going to come. Now, I'm not saying it's about a proper balance, right? We walk out, our tire is flat. Oh, oh, of course that would happen to me. Oh, of course that, you know, who else would that happen to? I'm such a loser. I've got a flat tire, blah, blah, blah. Okay, we don't let that come. We may feel it, but we don't let it come out of our mouths, right? Because we're not going to speak that over ourselves. But it also shouldn't be that, God, why are you doing this to me? God's not doing it to you. And it may not even be that the devil is doing it to you. Maybe you just hadn't noticed that your tires were like paper thin and that any little rock or stick was going to puncture a hole in it. And maybe, you know, if you hadn't bought the stuff at Target and Walmart and Costco and wherever else, you would have had the money in the bank to go ahead and pay for the repaired tire. But even if you did overspend and you, you know, weren't wise with your money, there is repentance for that, and Jesus is still your rock. So there's a balance here, right? Because if we're not careful, we get into this thing that our lives should be perfect and the trouble and toil is the out of the norm. No, the trouble and toil is sort of the norm. I mean, it says that thistles and thorns are going to grow up out of this earth, that by the sweat of your brow, you'll eat your bread. That means we got to work. And we might have to work hard. Like, work hard. And it may not produce all that we want it to produce, but that doesn't mean that we don't have all that we need, because Jesus is the Jehovah Jireh. He will provide everything we need and then some. And so we can have, the point is, when the world is going nuts and there's protest and there's crime and there's crazy diseases going on, that we can stand in the middle of the chaos. We can stand in the middle of people literally losing their minds and say, I have a solution and his name is Jesus. And they look at us and say, your life is perfect. And you say, no, it's not. I've got this going on. I got that going on. I got this happening. I got that happening. But I know where the end is, and it's Jesus. See, you were created to contend. Did you know physically in your body is created to thrive under stress, an appropriate amount of stress? Now, I'm not talking about insane, crazy amounts of traumatic stress. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about normal stress. Did you know the number one thing you can do for your body to prevent Alzheimer's or dementia is weightlifting. Physically putting your muscles under strain so that you feel it the next day, maybe not to where you can't move. And I'm not saying that anybody needs to be a bodybuilder. I'm married to one, but you don't, I'm not talking about bodybuilding here. But physical weight resistance is the number one thing you can do for your brain to prevent dementia or Alzheimer's. They have done study after study after study after study and proven it. Women, personal knowledge, the number one thing you can do to prevent osteoporosis after a certain event in your life, walking and weight resistance. Lifting weights and walking are the two things. Walking's number one. Weight resistance is just right there. Is the thing to do for osteoporosis. Our bodies are designed to thrive under stress. Now, again, I am not talking about extreme stress. I am not talking about the trauma of war or the trauma of abuse. I'm not talking about that. But even then, we've got Jesus. And even then, when we don't understand, we don't understand the betrayal of a close friend that told all of our business to somebody else that they weren't supposed to tell. Even when we've worked for this company and we have put in our blood, sweat, and tears, we stayed extra when they asked us. We came in on the weekends when they asked us. We gave everything to this company, and without a thought, they give us a pink slip and we don't get our pension. Even when the unthinkable happens, we still have Jesus. And we can still soar, we can still sleep, we can still have peace, we can still know that Jesus is with us. And not just with us, but he has designed us to destroy the works of the devil. See, it's easy to know the works of the devil. It's so easy. The Bible says that the devil comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He wants to kill your hope and a lot of other things. I mean, he would love to kill you physically if possible. He wants to steal your provision. He wants to steal your dreams. He wants to steal your faith. Steal, kill, destroy. He wants to destroy you, right? He wants to destroy your kids. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your friendships. He wants to destroy your job. The Bible says he put enmity between us. Enmity was already there, or he wouldn't have been in the garden trying to trick Eve into not believing or disobeying God. See, the devil was one of the archangels. He was in heaven. It said that there were musical instruments actually physically built into his body. He was one of the most beautiful beings that God had created, and he decided he was going to be like God. Well, guess who's like God? Who is created in God's image? Us, not him. And so he hates us. He hates us. With a really big passion, he hates us. But Jesus loves us with an undying love, and Jesus always trumps the devil. The devil, as John has said, the devil is not God's equal. The devil is a created being. God could just, boop, and the devil is gone. But the devil wants to hurt you. He wants to drag you down. He wants to distract you. He wants to pull your focus from Jesus. He wants to depress you. He wants to harm you. He wants to harm all those around you. But we've got a solution. We've got a solution in Jesus. But we've got to know that solution. And to know that solution is spelled T-I-M-E. T-I-M-E. Now, I know that there are intercessors out there that they tithe their time to the Lord every day. So there's 24 hours. They give 2.4 hours to the Lord every day in prayer. Wow. Other than maybe church time, I've never done that in a one-on-one time. Now, I might do it kind of throughout the day. I listen to a lot of podcasts while I'm cleaning house. I read books. Well, I listen to books, audiobooks, lots and lots of audiobooks. You know, I will spend my time in prayer, but it's about T-I-M-E time, but not just time for time's sake. It's time for getting to know him and allowing him to get to know us. Because it's only in him that we have the peace that passes all understanding. It's only in him that we have the joy that comes after the morning. It's only in him that we have the strength to soar up into that storm and face it head on. And so this morning, I want us to sort of adjust our perspective. On the one hand, we don't expect trouble to come. We don't want trouble to come. We don't see trouble as an award or like a punishment or as a tool that God's using to teach us a lesson. You know, God's not going to put sickness on someone to teach them a lesson. He's not trying to, you know, teach them how to love him or how to tell other people around him through that. That's a destroying thing. That's what the devil does. But God never wastes a crisis. He never wastes a problem. He never wastes an issue. You know, there's enough in this world that happens, and then there's our own kind of bad, silly, wrong choices at times that can then bring along some consequences. But even amongst those, we don't have to endure them. We don't have to punish ourselves. We don't have to put ourselves through isolation and, you know, oh, well, I can't even come to God with this because he told me not to do it and I did it. No. We run straight boldly to the throne, to Jesus. But we have a solution in him. He is the solution. He is all we need. This morning, the songs that we were singing, it was right into this that I raise a hallelujah in the midst of my enemies. You know, you're surrounded by enemies, and I don't mean people because the Bible says we do not fight flesh and blood, but we fight principalities and rulers of the air, things of the devil that might be working through some people at your work or in your neighbors or maybe even in your own family. We won't look at anybody. Don't jab anybody. But we don't fight against flesh and blood. You see flesh and blood, and so it's easy to think you fight flesh and blood, but you don't fight flesh and blood. It's easy to see everybody's photos on Facebook where they only show you the good stuff. Nobody is showing you the house after they've had a knockdown, drag-out fight, and there's vases broken, and the dogs are cowering in the corner, and the kids are crying. Like, nobody's posting pictures of, whoa, just had a real barnstormer with my husband. I don't know. I hope my eye doesn't turn black. Like, nobody's posting that, right? Like, they're only posting the very best of what's going on in their life, and half the time, it's staged. It's not even real. You know, like you, nobody in here would ever do this. Nobody in here, okay? I'm going to poke a little fun. Nobody in here, but, you know, the people that would go to a coffee shop, put out their Bible, put out their journal with all the highlight and then the flags and things spoken out of it, and then they get their coffee and their muffin, and they got to get that angle just right and put it on portrait, right, so that it like blurs the background and it focuses on what's in front, and they're like just spending time with Jesus. I mean, yesterday, I posted a photo. I was outside enjoying our backyard. I was studying. I had my iPad. I had my drink. I had my sunblock. I was looking out on the pool, and I posted something about, you know, David's at work. I'm back in school, but I have a good place to complete homework. Now, what I didn't show you was that Friday night I was in tears, completely overwhelmed by all the homework that I had to do. What I didn't show you was that this week I had three other breakdowns about school because it's a lot going on, and it's graduate school, and so it's no joke, and then, you know, I'm wanting to do these other things, and it's like, you know, I didn't show you my mascara running and crying and David looking petrified like, I don't know what to do with you. You're crying. You never cry. I don't know what to do with you. What, like, he doesn't know who to call. Like, he doesn't have Lena's number. He doesn't know who to call. Don't do that to her. But, you know, he just, all he says is just, yes, baby, and it's like, well, I think we might need some patio furniture. Okay, here's the credit card, darling, whatever it takes, like, he doesn't know what's happening. Like, I don't post that on Facebook, right? Like, I'm just posting, oh, finishing homework, and so we can start to think that that's how life is supposed to be. And so we've got to, if we can adjust our paradigm, if we can adjust how we look at life, if we can adjust how we look at this world, then when these things come at us, it's not like, why, God, are you doing this to me? And then we can say, hey, no, Jesus got this. It doesn't have to crumble us. It doesn't have to make us just fall to the ground. It doesn't have to undo us on the inside. It doesn't have to make us start questioning about who we are and what we're called to. Well, maybe I'm not really called to follow Jesus. Maybe I'm not really called to the nations. Maybe I'm not really called to work here or to do whatever. You know, it doesn't have to undo who we are, because who we are is not what's happening around us. Who we are is who Jesus says we are. And he says we're an overcomer. He says that we're a victor. He says that we're the one that's supposed to be breaking through the wall and bringing others with us. See, if we can adjust our expectations, not that we're expecting something bad to happen, but that we have an understanding that we live in a fallen world, we have an enemy that's against us, we have an entire kingdom that is sort of, we are definitely not woke, and we are definitely sort of not in the flow of this world. We are kind of anti-culture, right? Like, we're sort of, that's where we're supposed to be. Jesus was anti-culture, and we're kind of right behind him. And so that means if we're anti-culture, all the rest of the culture is kind of coming at us. And at times that can be a lot. But that's when we can lean back on Jesus and say, okay, whew, God, I don't know what's going on out here, but whoo, I'm glad you got me. Whoo, I'm glad you got me. Lord, I'm gonna go take a nap. I'll let you deal with this for a while. I don't know what you got going on, but I'm gonna go lay down in the bottom of the boat and let you work out this storm thing. That's not for me. I believe where the Lord wants us as a church to get, the sort of the flow that he wants us to get into, is that we could sort of, all these troubles and toils and issues in our lives, we could put them in their proper place. They're not above Jesus. They're not bigger than him. They're not stronger than him. They don't persevere over him. He wins it all. He wins it all. And when we're able to put it in the right perspective, then we could actually take our eyes off of our own problems and our own issues and our own troubles and toils, and we can then begin to reach out to others no matter what is going on at home. Now, let me just say this. If you are in an abusive situation, this does not apply. Get out. Okay? I want to put the... And there are times when troubles seem to kind of stack on. Like, have you guys seen those tumbleweed storms that are going on out in West Texas? I mean, three stories tall, full of just tumbleweeds blowing in. And there are times that the devil will just pile on problem after problem after problem, and you may need to get some friends together and get some breakthrough prayer. I'm not saying that. But just the everyday stuff should not overwhelm us to where we can't reach out to others. We can't pray for others. We can't intercede for what's on the Lord's heart. He doesn't want us to be so entwined and consumed by our own immediate issues, you know, my four and no more, my family, I'm going to pray for my husband and my kids and that's it. Like, he wants us to be able to open our hearts, open our minds, open the realm of possibility and dreams and faith and maybe God could take us to Mexico next year to do an outreach. Maybe the Lord would have us go to Costa Rica and do an outreach next year. Maybe he would have us just ask our neighbors over for dinner and get to know them in the next 3 months and tell them about Jesus. Stepping on some toes, maybe. But if we're so wrapped up in just what is engulfing us at the time, it's like do you guys remember the Tasmanian devil from Looney Tunes? The little tornado thing? He will send so many Tasmanian devils into your life to have you just spinning all the time that you can't see straight. And what an easy target you are. I don't like being an easy target. I don't like it. I don't like confrontation. I avert confrontation when possible. But I like to think, I don't know if I do this in actuality. You know how you have like the projected self and then you have your actual self? I like to think that, you know, if somebody starts a fight, I'll finish it. I'll have to ask David if that's really what happens or not, or Alan or John or Julia, somebody that's known me for a long time, you know, Mike or Diane or Donna or Jeff. Like, I like to think that I'm this courageous, brave, you know, kind of tough cowgirl type that I may not start a fight, but by golly, I'll finish it. Because I don't want to be an easy target for the devil. And I don't want to be so wrapped up in my own thing that I can't help anybody else, that I can't reach out to anybody else, that I can't reach out to what's in God's heart. And so this morning, you know, ask the Lord. We're here in just a second. We're going to pray. Ask the Lord, okay, God, is there anywhere that I'm not trusting you fully? Is there any storm, issue, betrayal, loss, mourning, disappointment, whatever? Lord, is there any area where I'm not trusting you fully, and it's just got me chasing my tail and running in circles? God, I don't want that anymore. I want to trust you, and I can get out of this pattern. And so go ahead and stand to your feet with me. Lord, this morning we come to you as our all in all. You are our peace. You are our healer. You are our provider. You are everything we need. You are our defender. You are our warrior, our fighter on our behalf. You are our intercessor, Lord. And so we come to you this morning and we say, Lord, we don't want to chase our tails anymore. We don't want to be consumed by our problems, but we want to step into a place of total faith and trust and adventure with you, Lord, to see what all you're going to do in our lives. And so, Father, any place in us where we're not fully trusting, any place in us where we're overwhelmed by the problem rather than looking at the solution, Lord, show that place to us. Show it to us, Holy Spirit, not to condemn us, but to free us. He wants to free us from the weight of those problems, the weight of those issues, the weight of those turmoils and trials and toils. And so, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are everything to us. And in you we can rest. In you we can have peace that passes all understanding. Lord, in you we can have joy in the morning. We can have beauty for ashes. And so I give you all praise and glory this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.